This ain't Jump.
This ain't Slam.
The name of this record is Bounce.
What's up, everybody? Jack Maloney back with Friendly Bounce, Hardwood Praxis, and Basketball Network. We're doing our special season preview podcast with my guys Chris Barnwell and Wesley Scherer tonight. We're going to talk about the Philadelphia 76ers. Last year, 18-64, 14th in the East, which is pretty much exactly what they wanted. Over the offseason, they brought in a bunch of guys, Nick Stauskas, Pierre Jackson, a whole bunch of draft picks, Jahlil Okafor, J.P. Okoro, Rishon Holmes, T.J. McConnell, Scotty Wilbekin is here. Not really clear who's all going to make the roster at this point. They lost a few veterans in Jason Richardson and Luke Mbamute. But it's a pretty, influx roster, except for Okafor, Embiid, and Noel. I guess we'll jump into it with Wes, who writes for SB Nation's, what do you guys call it again?
Liberty Ballers.
Liberty Ballers, that's right. The Sixers site. So Wes is a Sixers guy. I guess you want to start, Wes, sort of just the general thoughts on how this offseason went with all the, Embiid stuff and Okafor. It's a lot happening there.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. The Embiid stuff, super unfortunate. There's a whole lot of negative media attention he's getting for some bad work ethic stuff that I don't think we need to go into necessarily. But pretty much they came away, obviously the biggest move of the offseason was the Kings move. They traded for Nick Stauskas, who was sort of a token for taking on the contracts of Harold Landry and Jason Thompson, and they also picked up future pick swaps and a protected 2018 first round pick, I think was nothing short of a heist. I don't think many people would disagree. They sort of business as usual over there. I mean, they have, actually, this is probably the least amount of roster turnover we've seen since Sam Hinkie took over in 2013. They have something like 7 or 8 guys back from last year. They picked up Rashawn Holmes from Bowling Green. Obviously, Jahlil Okafor at number 3. Signed Kendall Marshall, who will in all likelihood start the majority of the games at point guard this season once he's back. So I think they feel like they probably had a good offseason and they're going to go forward with the same process.
I feel like this is the first year where everyone's like, oh, they built a team that's trying not to win again. They did, but this is the first year where I feel like they went forward. Like, Stauskas is a player that I think is legitimately going to be good. They have Carl Landry, who's a veteran. They signed Pierre Jackson, who, again, I think is going to be good. They didn't sign a bunch of nobody players you've never heard of. They probably, some people haven't heard of them. But they didn't sign a bunch of players that can pay in 3 years to potential. Like, in years past, they've signed guys like, there's no way this player is going to be in the NBA in 3 years. A lot of these guys, you can actually see them sticking around.
Yeah, that's fair.
That stuff definitely doesn't get a lot of attention at all from the national media, because I think most of the focus is on Sam Hinkie's quote-unquote process, So if you disagree with the process, you probably don't look much into who's on the roster. And there are actually more NBA players than most think on the roster. And if you like the process, then you're probably a little more informed on some of the fringe guys that they seem to have who are actually outperforming expectations.
What? So Hinkie's been there since 2013, right?
Yeah, May of 2013.
Like, so this is, going on 3 years that he's been there. What do you think? I mean, you follow the Sixers closely, more closely than I do, Wes. What do you think sort of the idea is there, the thoughts are there on how long they'll let him keep running out this plan? Because it's not like he can do this for 10 years, right? Like, at some point, you gotta go for it. And I don't know that, like, the ownership eventually is just going to get sick of it. You know, they've given him a super long leash so far, but, like, how much longer do you think he can just keep running out teams that are going to get him a top five pick until the ownership is like, all right, we got to start winning some games?
Yeah, so Josh Harris speaks about twice a year. I have no idea really what his, obviously, like, what his deep thoughts are on the long-term view of this whole thing. But they've been pretty transparent about the whole thing. I think they're just going to continue to go back to the draft and until they feel like they have a superstar to build around. The whole thing is about finding foundational pieces to build around. And if it did take 10 years and Josh Harris and David Blitzer and their whole ownership group was behind him, I could totally see them doing this for 10 years. Obviously, most people hope that isn't the case, and I highly doubt it will be. But there's never been any sort of timetable. It's more when can the team identify top-level talent and how can they do that. And they've stockpiled a bunch of picks to do so. I'm obviously probably more pro the team's process than most people. Obviously, he's made some moves that I don't totally agree with, like KJ McDaniel's trade, etc. But generally, I think he's done a very good job.
That's actually one thing I kind of dislike about the process. I've always kind of been in the middle where I don't completely hate it, but I do dislike the idea that this is 100% going to work. Like, there's a lot of assumptions from people who support, like, there's no way this could possibly fail. And that's an issue I have. But I also do kind of an issue with the whole idea of never buying in to your guys. Like, eventually, you have to put together a core of players that you think you can work with and just go with them. And, like, I understand being like, well, what if we get the next Anthony Davis? Well, most players and superstars aren't Anthony Davis. Like, eventually, you can't have to stop waiting. You have to stop waiting around for that guy. You got to go forward with something, right?
Yeah, I think, obviously, a lot of the it can't fail stuff you're talking about is more hyperbolic than anything. But I think it more just comes from, I mean, in all likelihood, that's coming from the Philly fan base and that whole contingent.
Of course.
And yeah, I mean, the Sixers had some pretty tone-deaf management for a while before this, and I think people are so refreshed around that area to have somebody who talks about, you know, a calculated approach to things, a very level-headed approach to accumulating talent that people can relate to. And I think that just sort of excites people more than anything. Obviously, there are lots of ways that the whole thing could go awry.
I have to give credit to Hinkie. Like, I kind of go back and forth on it, but, I mean, the man came up with this, like, idea, here's his plan, this is what we're doing, and he's all in. He's never wavered once on, should I not do this? Like, he has stated that this is his goal, and he's going to see it through, and I think that a lot of times it doesn't happen, whether it's the GM's fault or, you know, ownership, you know, kind of forces their hand, but I think a lot of times, you know, guys don't really get a chance to see their plan, you know, all the way through, and that there's lots of different factors, but I like that Hinkie and the ownership group are seeing this out, and it might not work. If building a championship team was super easy, like, people would do it all the time, but I like that they're...
Technically, people do it all the time. There's a champion every year.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, but like, starting from this, like, they had nothing to.
I totally broke his brain.
Yeah.
No, I totally understand what you meant.
I don't know. I'm done.
You're really dumb.
I guess, what do you guys think? We'll kind of leave Embiid out of it for right now because we don't know when he's going to be back. Who would you rather, like, who do you see having the better career moving forward between Okafor and Nerlens?
I'm actually lower on Jahlil Okafor than most people are. I would prefer an NBA center in 2015 be able to stretch the floor or protect the rim, and I'm not sure he necessarily projects to do either of those at an elite level. Nerlens is already, he anchored the 13th best defense in the NBA last year according to defensive rating, and he was really the only elite defensive player on that in that lineup all year round. I think Nerlens is a very, very bright future. He's working on his offensive game. He's actually been putting the ball on the floor and facing up a little. He's working on that jump shot, and he's already, I think, pretty clearly headed towards elite rim protection status very soon, if not already.
Well, let's bring that back a little here. That is a very mighty proclamation about a guy that's had one good year. But I agree that I think at the moment it looks like Noel will probably have the better career, only because we have that sample size. I'm very high on Okafor. I really liked him coming out of the draft. I thought a lot of the dudes going up against Carl Anthony Towns' resume. But I think Okafor is going to be a very good player. And I think he can, one of his attributes that he's very quick in the post. And one way, a lot of people are like, oh, the post game is dead now. The post game's not dead, it's just changed. You're going to be fast, because defenses are going to close in on you fast. Okafor has the ability to do that one, two post move and get the shot up. And not very many guys can do that.
And not only make the one, two, get the shot up, he's also a very, very good passer from the post.
Under
pressure. Yeah,
very,
I mean, he's got a very interesting skill set. I think he's going to be a very good player. I think Nerlens Noel still going forward has a bit of a
better one.
I guess if it was like some sort of situation where you could only choose one, I would choose Nerlens. But I think they're both going to be pretty good. It's kind of a shame that Embiid's almost like an afterthought, just because of his injuries and stuff. You know, that's only so much you can do about that. It's just when you're 7'2", sometimes your feet just break down. It's too bad. But I think front court wise, you can't really ask for much more if you have Nerlens and Okafor. Like, I think that's a front court, you know, that you can build around for the future. It's now about finding the other, you know, some wing depth and point guard and stuff. But obviously that's going to take them a few more drafts.
And another interesting thing about Noel, they're going to make a damn good high-low. Nerlens Noel is also a very underrated passer. And that's going to be a really, really fun high-low to watch the next couple years.
It's not right. Like, it'd be great if everybody on your team can shoot threes, but if you have two big men who can at least step out to, you know, shoot an elbow jumper, like that 15, 16-foot range, and can hit, you know, fairly consistently from there, then you can make that work. You know, like, the Grizzlies, Zebo and Marc Gasol aren't really shooting threes, but they make that work because they're both good passers, and, like, they can both knock down that, you know, little mid-range jumper and operate in the post. It's like, there's no reason to think Noel and Okafor can't coexist, even though neither really has, you know, three-point range. But I think as long as they develop that mid-range jumper, that'll be enough to make it work, I believe.
Yeah, they've both been taking some reps from 10, 12 feet outside in preseason, and Nerlens has done it in the past last year a little bit. He started taking up a little more often the second half of the year. But this is going to be the first year also where they have a full year of some actual NBA shooters surrounding them at potentially every position. Isaiah Cannon at the deadline was probably the first guard they've had in who can shoot the basketball over since Sam Hinkie took over as Michael Carter-Williams, Tim Frazier, Larry Drew II, Tony Roden obviously can't shoot the ball. Like, they never really had any spacing, and it's going to be interesting to watch a full year of that.
Yeah, Stauskas, I mean, we haven't really seen too much of him, but, I mean, he can shoot, allegedly.
I'm excited for whichever player that we don't know about is going to turn into some very
Rechon Holmes,
like, rotation player this year. Like, they always do it once a year, like, whether it's Hollis Thompson or Robert Covington, every year, like, some good guy you've never heard of turns into a rotation good player for them, every year.
I think Jeremy Grant has a chance to do that this year. He cooled off late last year, but I think, I mean, this will be a big year for him, obviously, but I'm...
Jimmy Tocoto.
No, absolutely not.
I just named off a random name. Yeah. Rechon Holmes.
I'm in on Rechon Holmes because he had a sick dunk the other day, but that's all I know about him. And he went to Bowling Green.
Perfect.
That's all you need to know. What you want to talk about Saric a little bit? What's the you got like just? Can you give us a general
yeah
a general so, outlook on what the plan is with him?
Yeah. So Saric was drafted in 2014. He signed a 2+1 deal with Anadolu Efes in the Turkish league,
mm-hmm.
and he does have an out after this season, and he did start saying this past summer that he would like to come to Philadelphia next year. And the team tried to bring him over the summer, reportedly. I think David Pick reported that. And they didn't. They obviously, the league rules allow for a very limited amount of buyout money, and mm-hmm. he would have taken a pretty big financial hit if he had come over last summer. But pretty much the big deal is going to be, for the in terms of the team's interest, getting him to come over 2016, because once he gets to 2017, he can do what Nikola Mirotic did, which is avoid right. the rookie scale, and mm-hmm. the team is no longer paying him within their own restrictions, and of course then the cap goes up. He could be looking at a lot of money if he waits till 2017, so that could potentially be in his best interest.
And they, like, he projects, he's like a power forward, right? Or can he play the three?
He's a 3-4. He's a point forward. I'm not really sure what position he is or what position he'll ever be able to guard.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a really interesting offensive player.
Yeah.
And he's sort of a bruiser. He works pretty hard on D, I think, but I don't know who he really projects to defend going forward.
Yeah. I watched him, you know, a few times in Eurobasket, and he's like, I don't know, it's hard to really get a true feel for a guy when you only see him, like, I don't know, play like 40 minutes or whatever in Eurobasket, but it's like he had brief glimpses where he looked like awesome, and then you go through stretches where you just completely forgot he was on the floor. And I don't know, that just could be European, like, national team ball is a lot different, and you don't know like what system they're running or whatever, like it's hard to really tell, but you definitely like saw glimpses of the talent, which is like I thought he was an unbelievable passer in what I saw.
Yeah, he's got really, really, really good vision. That's definitely sort of his calling card. He didn't actually even perform all that well in Eurobasket, I thought. He shot the ball pretty poorly, like under 25% from three.
Yeah.
And he's a pretty inconsistent outside shooter. That's going to be a pretty big swing skill for him going forward.
Good. Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see him when he comes over, how they... You know, if they get another, probably another top five draft pick plus him next summer, and, you know, if Embiid's healthy, like, I think next summer could really be the sort of turning point if everything...
It could be they got a new practice facility coming next summer, too, which is definitely planned accordingly to that, although I don't think they're any sort of a lure next summer, obviously. And plus they have Miami's first-round pick, top 10 protected, the Thunder first round pick, top 15 protected, and the Lakers first round pick, top 3 protected.
That, yeah, that, you could have two top 5 picks, plus Saric, plus you get Embiid back, like that could be a ridiculously talented roster next year.
It definitely could, potentially. I think the Lakers pick might run a little closer,
yeah,
to the line than others probably do, but I don't know. And, you know, if the Sixers outperform expectations, which I don't really think will necessarily be the case, I picked them in the Liberty Bars season preview to win 20 games. But if they were to win 25 to 30, they do have the Kings pick swap available to them if the Kings were to play very poorly.
Oh, man. That's like a part-time job keeping track of their picks and everything.
I have trouble keeping track of the second rounders the most.
All right, what do you guys, as we wrap things up, what do you guys see? Wes, you said 20 wins. Chris, what do you think the Sixers can finish above last in the East, or are they
do? They've done it every single time in the Hinkie era. They're not going to finish last. In the East or in the NBA?
No, in the East.
In the East? The Bucks and Knicks beat them last year, so no, I don't think they'll be last. I think they'll be second. I have them like at 23 or 24 wins.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I can't see them winning too many more than that. They'll probably not really what they want to do anyway. But it's gonna be at least interesting to watch this team now that you have a healthy Nerlens and you have Okafor. Is like, those are two dudes who moving forward you know are gonna be on the team, and like you get to see them operate together. So it'll be at least be like something when you're watching this team where it's not like, why do I watch this team? Like, none of these guys are gonna be here. Like, you at least have some excitement moving forward for Sixers fans.
Yeah, I think they have some keepers as well who are going to be pretty interesting to watch this year, like Robert Covington and Hollis Thompson. Obviously, Stauskas is going to be in playing likely pretty heavy minutes for the first time.
Yeah.
There's some interesting storylines to watch for sure.
Definitely. All right, that's a wrap on the Sixers. I'm Jack. My guys, Chris and Wesley. Here's our boy DJ Los Latino playing us out. Catch you guys later. Peace.
This ain't Jump.
This ain't Slam.
The name of this record is Bounce.